Welcome to our class on Pesach. My name is Sean Bedlun, and the topic of tonight's lecture, the history of our forefathers when they left Egypt. The Zohar, there's two Zohars. The one Zohar says when all the miracles of leaving Egypt happened, like the killing of the firstborns, all the great things happening, the Zohar says that night was as bright as a summer's day. It's a miracle that happened. And the Zohar also mentions the first night of Pesach is called Leil Shmurim. It's a time where we're guarded. We're very secure on Pesach night. So why? Very simple. Because day, Pesach, going out to Vilna Gaon, Pesach is daytime. The first night of Pesach has the same status as being day. Daytime, people are much more secure, much more safe. Kanda Torah, take the darkness of a night of Pesach, a very dark night, darkness, and teach your children in the darkness, when it's goals, when we're in exile. It's dark and it's doubly dark. Teach the children in all this negativity, teach them about Judaism. And how? Take the darkness. You have to, when you teach your children, it has to be in a way of light, passion. Yiddishkeit has to be relevant to the child. To us, it means in order to teach your children, it has to be relevant to yourself also. We're teaching our children, it has to be relevant to us. And when it's relevant to us, when we can see it, we can point to it. This, why do I keep Yiddishkeit? Why do I keep Judaism? Because I have a personal attachment to it. It's something I enjoy. It's something that's me. And I can give it over to my child because I'm giving something over that I can point to. It's light. There's a famous saying, when the sea was split, the Pasuk says, Zekeli, the Jews, went out from the sea. They're all happy. They were all talking about the miracles. They said, Zekeli, this is my God. Zekeli Vandeyo, this is my God, Vandeyo, and I'll glorify him. El Ke'avi, the God of my fathers, Arim Menu, and I'll exalt him. It's a very beautiful words. But you see that there's two different parts. Zekeli, this is my God, Vandeyo, I'll glorify him. But the God of my forefathers, I'll exalt him. He's like very distant. Because when I keep Judaism in a way that's mine, Zekeli, I can point to, this is mine, and I can teach my children, this is mine, this is something that belongs to me. I'm giving you a piece of myself, I'm teaching you. But when something that's important to me, you can give it over to your children. That's the first lesson we can learn, that the survival of Jewish people is how we give over to our children. That's the first lesson. Source number four, this is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the lands of Egypt. Whoever is hungry, let him come and eat. Whoever is in need, this year we are here. Next year, the land of Israel. This year we are slaves. Next year we will be free people. It says that we're pointing to the matzah, we're calling the matzah the bread of our affliction, lechem oni, which can also mean it's a poor man's bread. I mean, nowadays matzah is very expensive. So,
they have Costco.
They have Costco, yeah. We say it here, interesting. This is lechem oni. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate. The question is, when did our fathers eat? When did the Jews eat matzah in Egypt? You know, when we left Egypt, we packed, we were trying to make bread, and we didn't have time, so matzah came up, and that's how we had matzah. But when did we have the idea that the Jews, ate matzah when they were in Egypt? So actually, there's an argument between the Ramban, Nachmanides, and the Maral Perek. Nachmanides says, it's very simple. Matzah was a common staple amongst the Jews who were slaves. There's one rabbi who actually, there's a big rabbi in the early 1200s or late 1200s, around that time. He was traveling and he was captured, taken prison. So after many years, or how long he was spent in prison, he came out, his friends asked him, what happened? And what was the menu? Like, what did you eat? Like, what was going on there? He said to himself, the whole time I was in prison, I only ate matzah. No bread, no nothing, just matzah. It's very simple. Matzah is very easy to make. It also fills you up much longer. It means that you don't starve as much as fast if you eat matzah, if you're going to eat bread. So to save money, the taskmasters, they would give the Jews, or any slaves, they'll give matzah. I mean, that would keep them satisfied for a much longer time, and they would save money that way. So the Yidden actually, according to Ramban, the Yidden actually ate matzah the whole time they were in bondage in Egypt. Imagine that, every day had matzah. Not a comfortable thought to think about. That's the Ramban, that's not Maimonides. The Maharal of Prague, he argues with the Ramban. He says, you can't say that matzah, but this is what the Haggadah is referring to. Because the Haggadah, Seder is not to tell us, he's not teaching us what happened in the past when we were slaves. The Seder, Haggadah, is telling us what we are now. We're free. Pesach is supposed to teach us that we're free now. Celebrating freedom, not to celebrate what happened in the past. So how can you say that we're eating matzah now? This is the Haggadah telling us what we ate, our fathers ate when they were slaves. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't fit in with the whole Seder, the whole flow of the Haggadah was teaching you, we're doing this because we're free, doing this because we're free, different things we do. We drink wine, we lean, because we're free men. First point, the first step of the Seder, introduction to the Haggadah, was saying, we ate matzah because we were slaves. I mean, there are parts that we were slaves, but then at least to ending. We were slaves, now we're free. He was saying, well, we were slaves and that's it. The Ramban, the Maharal of Prague, did not like this explanation of the Ramban. He gives an alternative explanation. And he says that, what does it mean that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim? Like we said, the Jews, when they left, about to leave, they made matzah on their backs, came out, they were supposed to be bread, didn't work out as planned, became matzah, they were running away, and they were going. But the whole time, that until they crossed the sea, they were still in the boundary of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. So even though they were free, they were still in the outskirts of Egypt. And that's why he's saying, we're not commemorating the time we ate matzah when we were slaves, we're commemorating the time we ate matzah when we were free, just we happened to be like still in the boundary of Egypt. That's the Maharal of Prague. Let's try to understand the Ramban. I mean, it's a good question. Why does the Ramban give such an answer? It doesn't really fit in with the theme of Pesach, that we're supposed to be celebrating because we're free men. To understand this, let's give a parable. It's a Medrash. There was the Medrash gives a certain parable, that there was a sermon, there was a father who was walking by with his son on the street. And the son tells his father, "Father, I can't walk anymore. But Daddy, pick me up. Take me on your shoulders, I can't walk." Lifts him up, puts him on his shoulders, and he feels better. They're walking, the kid's like making comments, saying, "Oh cool, I can see the whole world. I'm on top of the world." A time goes by, and then suddenly another kid comes by in the other direction, also on his father's shoulders. And they're discussing, talking about things, and the original kid said, "Did you see my father? Where is he? I haven't seen him for half an hour. I know where he went. Where did he go?" The father got angry and says, "Where am I? I'm holding you." He put him back down and you won't go into the rest of the midrash. The moral of the story is that Hashem takes the Jewish people, we're on the lowest level, and he lifts us up. He picks us up on his shoulders. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think, it's a good life out there, and we don't realize where we came from. Part of the problem is that you come from a place, people always realize, they always know where to turn to when times are bad. Times are bad, you have to ask Hashem. People don't always realize that when times are good, to thank God. Remember what it was a year ago. Where am I now? Thank God that now I have this, and I have that. We tend gratitude. The Haggadah is telling us, never forget gratitude. Gratitude is a very important thing. Never forget where you came from. Never forget where you were a year ago, or 5 years ago, or even a day ago. God lift you up. God gave you what you have. Never forget. Don't be, Hebrew says, kafui tov. Don't be ungrateful. The Ramban, Nachmanides, makes a lot of sense. Yes, matzah is supposed to tell you about the miracle of Egypt, of leaving Egypt. We're free. But when you're free, don't forget that you were once slaves. Don't forget the hardship that you went through. Don't forget that you were once so low that Hashem picked you up. Don't forget about that. That's important. Never forget where you came from. Because if you forget where you came from, then where we are now. Freedom is only good, is only important, once we realize where we're from. The Torah is saying, don't never forget. That's important. That's what Rambam said. That makes sense. Yes, matzah represents freedom. But you also, even in freedom, you have to remember that there was a time that we were slaves. And that's why Rambam says, the achal of asana, this is the bread that our forefathers ate when we were in Egypt. Yes, we have to remember that we were once in Egypt. We were once slaves. Because if you forget about that, where is our gratitude? And that's a very good answer for the Rambam, for the Maimonides. Matzah represents freedom. But at the same time, it represents that we also were once. Remember that we were once slaves. That's the second lesson we learned from the Gadol. Gratitude. So the first lesson we learn is that teach your children the way of light. Make sure it's passionate. Give over something passionate to your children. And make sure we're always grateful. The third lesson. We were slaves to the power in Egypt. And Hashem, our God, took us out from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. If the Holy One, blessed be He, had not taken our fathers out of Egypt, then we, our children, and our children's children, they've remained enslaved to power in Egypt. Even if all of us were wise, all of us understanding, all of us knowing the Torah, we'd still be obligated to discuss the Exodus from Egypt. Interesting, we say over here that if Hashem would have taken us out from Egypt, we'd still be indebted, or we'd still be under Paro's realm. He would still have control over us. I mean, logically, you can ask the question, things change. For 2,000 years, things don't happen. There's empires go, they collapse. Egypt would have gone and been out of it. We wouldn't be there. Maybe we'd still be there, but it'd be a different situation. It doesn't mean that if Hashem would take us out, we would be still, power would still be working in the fields. There are many answers. That would give us a different, certain perspective. We know that we actually see from the Haggadah, a lot of speaking in Haggadah, a lot of words, a lot of verbal contact. In fact, the Arizal has a play on words, that Pesach really means Hashem passed over the houses of the Jews, but he takes Pesach, and actually adds a silent hey in two words, Pesach. The Peh, the mouth, Sach speaks. Because Pesach is all about speaking and words. It's an interesting result. I mean, it's not the literal explanation of the words, but he explained that. What's Pesach? Pesach is the idea of you talking. Why is there so much talking on Pesach? We talk about this, talk about that, talk about our freedom. That God is teaching us that now, as a third lesson, never underestimate your words, the power of your words. The Talmud says that if someone's angry, he shouldn't talk. Why? I mean, practically, you don't want to get, if you're angry, then you know what's going to happen. You could be in big trouble. But the fact is, when you speak, you have emotion. The more you speak, the words have a power to arouse your emotions to really get you going. So if you're angry, I really don't like this person, I start speaking, it makes you more angry. And if you like someone, say, wow, this guy's such a good person, he's like this explaining his virtues. It means I really appreciate that guy. I can speak about him. I can really have something good to say about him. The words, the Bnei Yisrael, when they were in Egypt, they couldn't speak. They were so subjugated, so tormented, that they couldn't speak. They didn't have any words to express themselves. In fact, when they were trying to scream out to Hashem, the Egyptians are hurting us. They're destroying us. It doesn't say they spoke to Hashem. Beyond the Israel, they groaned to Hashem. They couldn't speak. They were screaming. No words were coming out. Because in Egypt, when we were in Mitzrayim, our words, the power of our speech was virtually not there. That's for the miracle of Mitzrayim. That's where we have to speak. Torah says, now, what's Pesach teaching us? We're here now. Before we couldn't speak, we were subjugated. Now we're here. Now we can use our words. Rabbi Rosenberg last few weeks has given a series on how to use the words, different ways in Judaism, how different situations, using your words in a positive way, speaking to a spouse, speaking to children, speaking to people who unfortunately lost parents, God forbid. Never underestimate the power of your words. When you have something to say, use it wisely, because your words mean a lot. And if you don't use your words wisely, and you say what you have to say, I mean, I really don't like this person, I'll say what I need to say, then you're still in Egypt. You're still a slave. You're mishabadim. You are subjugated to power, to the exile. God was the exile of Egypt. My words, I couldn't express myself. If you can't say hello, good evening, or thank you to your wife, or to your children, or to anyone, you can't express gratitude, you can't express yourself, you can't hold yourself back from saying something bad, then how have we progressed? We're still here. We're still in Egypt. Use the power of the words. This is the third thing. The third lesson that the Haggadah teaches us. The words are very powerful. Words mean something. So far, first lesson is teaching your children the way of light. Second lesson, that always remembering, even when it's good, remembering the time where it's bad, and using our words in a positive way. Fourth lesson. V'hi sha'amda, in source 6. V'hi sha'amda, at this time of Seder, we lift the glass of wine, we say, V'hi sha'amda, this is what has stood by our fathers and us. For not just one alone has risen against us, destroy us. And every generation, they rise against us, destroy us. And the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hand. Every generation that comes trying to get rid of us. You can ask, like, why are we still here? Amazing. The fact that we're here doesn't really make sense, logically. I mean, you know that the miracle of giving birth. So miraculous what goes on there. But if you ask anyone, it's part of nature. It happens. Every woman has it, and you gotta go through it, and that's how we're here. That's how the next generation is going to be here. They don't think for 1 second it's such a miraculous thing, because it happens every single day. Every single day, people are going through that situation. We're here for so long, people forget that we're miraculous. We shouldn't be here. We're here because Hashem has protected us from all the pressures, all the anti-Semitism that's been throughout the generations, and all the things that's attacked our Yiddishkeit. Anti-Semitism and the threat of assimilation. Why are we here? The interesting thing that one of the reasons why, like, scientists or historians, they say that the reason why the Jews have stood as a nation separate from all the other nations is not a very, it's actually a very, very simple reason. Because it separated us from them. They put us in ghettos, they separated us from them. So obviously, they do our job for us. That's one of the benefits. I mean, there's no benefit for anti-Semitism. That's one of the outcomes, that we stayed separate from them. That's the whole thing. Look at the words. Hisham, this is what has stood us by our fathers. What has kept the Yidden for so long? What has kept us as one nation? The fact has been owned in Elena that they stood up against us every single generation. The fact that they don't like us, the fact that they try to kill us, and they try to get rid of us, they separate us from them, that's why we're here. We're here because we were separated, we were pushed away. But there are some times where we're not pushed away. And we have a different threat. The threat of assimilation. What keeps us from being still separate? All these injunctions, we have our rabbis that keep us, they give us guidance, they give us laws, they keep us in a frame. So all these things, the Hisha Amda, this wine, and all the other injunctions that the rabbis gave us, that is what's kept us, even in times when we're not separated, that kept us as a Jewish people. So we have four things to count again. We have teaching our children in a very positive way, in the way of light, giving over passionate to them, being passionate. We have being grateful, remembering even when the times were dark, even when times are good, remember that there was a dark period too. Third, that using our words, these are things that a Yiddishkeit puts into us, that kept us one, kept us healthy, kept our children healthy, kept them wanting to be as one family. And in fact, we've listened to the rabbis. That's what kept us. Now, I want you to look at 7 from famous Mark Twain. You've probably all seen it quite a few times. You probably went to lectures that's been quoted a few times, but it's a fascinating quote, and I want to read it again. Mark Twain. The Egyptian, Babylonian, and the Persian rose. Fill the planet with sound and splendor, and faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and Roman followed, made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and is now where it always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energy, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? So I want to tell you, Mr. Twain, or whatever name you go by, I've got a few of them actually. What is the secret of our immortality? Why are we here? Because all the 4 lessons that we mentioned, these are lessons that God has taught us, that's kept us going. This is our secret to our immortality, that we've been able to teach our children in a positive way, that we've been able to use our speech in a comforting and positive way. And we've always remembered where we came from. And the fact that we stand, we listen to the likes of rabbis, that's our secret of the Jewish people.